So.
Well, this is Milo Dally, and some of my relatives have asked me to a few stories about different things. One thing that we're talking about a few moments back was some of my pets that I've had. And we were talking at that time when I had a pet porcupine. One time I was out in the woods there, and it was quite common for people, I think even with the rangers in the forest, would kill the porcupine because they thought they were killing the trees and this sort of thing. And there are very few porcupines left around the area now, but I ran on to where a female porcupine had been shot, had been killed there, and I examined it. I looked at her, and I noticed that she had the nipples, and that she was a female that probably had young and had milk. And so I searched around the area where the female porcupine was, and I found underneath a dead willow bush there underneath, that was bent down over through the because of the snow and this sort of thing. And so underneath there was this one little porcupine. As far as I know from studying on this type of animals, a female porcupine would only have either one or possibly two young at a time. But it had, there was one little one there. It was real small there. It was only at that time maybe 4 or 5 inches high on at that time, and it was underneath there, and I got it from underneath that. It had, even at that time when it was small, it had quills. So I had to be careful by handling underneath it, because they don't have quills underneath it. It was on top and around the tail. But I carried it home at that time, and within a very short time, it was hungry, and of course I got some milk and got it warm, and started to feed the little porcupine. And within a few minutes, it got to where I could take a teaspoon, and would dish up the milk with it, and the little porcupine would hold up with its front claws, would hold on to the outsides of the spoon, and then he would hold it up and feed himself with the milk from the spoon, and pour it into his own mouth there. I just pour it in the spoon and hand it to him, and he would hold it with his claws and feed it to himself. And it didn't take very long until he learned this sort of thing, and a lot of other things that it learned very rapidly. And of course, I named it Porcupine, which is Porky. I mean Porky, which is natural, I guess, what you'd give for a name there. And so I started calling it Porky, and when I'd call it, why, it would make all kinds of noises. It would grunt and talk and whine and all sort of thing, and when I'd call it, it would follow me, and in just a short time, it would get to where it wanted to climb up my leg and clear up onto my shoulder, and then would nuzzle on my face with its, on his nose and mouth. And a lot of people would wonder, well, how I could have one climb in that way without getting quills. But it was very careful about this sort of thing, and it kept the quills turned down away from toward its mouth, and when it would, or head, and it would climb up very carefully, and it would climb up onto my shoulder. Ten o'clock. And so I never had any trouble with quills at all. And the porcupine, we were using wood for fuel, and we had a box for wood, and that's the place it wanted to go in to sleep there in the wood box. And it liked various kinds of things of course leafy plants of that kind, liked lettuce and cabbage and all sort of things. And it grew very fast, quite rapidly. And even though it was getting quite large, it would still climb up onto my shoulder. And it would follow me around. And when I'd call me, he wanted to follow me around where I went. He wasn't very, very fast in the way he was traveling, but he liked to go with me. It was a male porcupine. This brings other things to me, my mind. Last thing that I, with the work that I done in college, was in Logan there, of course, a place there I got my degree up in there, and my master there. And the last kind of work that I did there, mainly because I was interested about learning about things about the area, and about the world and the forests and the birds and the animals, all this kind of thing. Somebody'd have to tell what they call them now. I can't tell you very well what the environmentalists. Yeah, I wanted to learn about the environmentalist business a little bit more, and so I got I went to the university there for that. And it was that type of work that I was doing. We'd go in early in the morning at 7 o'clock in the morning, and then work for an hour in the morning, and then we'd go out into the woods and the fields and work with this sort of thing. And I remember one time in the class early in the morning, they were curious about all of these things. These were young people there, all of them. I was the only one that was older there, old person there, and that deal. All the rest of them were young people, two young professors, and then the young people there were mostly girls, the young girls that were going there at that time. And they'd ask me all the questions and other things like that, that not only for me but from others. But they'd come up, and we ran into a porcupine there, and so it brought a lot of questions about early in the morning on 7 o'clock, about questions about porcupine. And so then the professor themselves and the people in the class asked a lot of things about porcupines that I knew quite a lot, because I told them at that time that I had a pet and raised one there. And so they wondered about breeding with the porcupines, how in the world they could do that with their quills and that thing. And I said, well, yes, I can tell you about that. And well, they tell me about it, how that they can breed on that, and I said, very carefully, I told them. Of course, they laughed about that, but I took care of that. But I had this porcupine for probably 3 years after that, and it got quite large. It would, about that time, it probably is heavy and quite fat, that it was probably over 30 pounds at that time. And it still climbed up my side, up onto my shoulder, and still wanted to nuzzle his mouth and nose on my face there and talk to me, and there's a noise that he would make. But we had raspberry bushes down below the hill there at that time, and this porcupine found out that he enjoyed those new shoots in the raspberry bushes there, and he'd began to clip those off and eat the tops and the leaves off the raspberry. So we couldn't put up with that too well, so I took him back into the woods. And of course, there was everything that it could live and get by on without any problem there on that. So I took him way back in the woods there and left him there. And another sequel onto that is that I went back with back in the country in the area in the woods there with some of the other men there that were. Quite often, everybody carried rifles, and they liked to shoot different things, and a lot of them liked to kill. Like I say, they killed porcupine and other things like that, and it seemed to think that everything that they ought to be able to get rid of these porcupines, because the animals, the cows, if they would run back in the woods, would get quills from them, and the horses and this sort of thing, and sometimes they did, of course, and the sheep also got quills on their faces because the reason they would because they were curious about them and come up and put their nose in front of them to where the porcupine would flip their tails where they'd hit them with quills, and they'd get them in their face. Now, another thing brings a nod about that. Some people thought that they would throw quills, but they don't do that at all. They have to hit something with their tails or whatever they'd flip it. But anyway, we're out in the woods with these three or four different men at that time with rifles, and so they saw a big porcupine up in the branch of a tree there, and so they began to raise their guns. We're going to shoot this porcupine. I said, no, don't do that. It might be my pet, and I said, don't shoot him. I don't know. And so I called there at that time. I said, come porky, and here this big porcupine began to grunt and mumble and talk, and he backed down off. They would be the front up and down, and would crawl downward with his feet, with his low feet down. He'd crawled on down over the hill, over the tree, and when grunting and whining and calling, and he came right up to me and climbed up to my shoulder after. It had been over a year and a half after that he came up there and came up and climbed up on my shoulder with it. And so that was about that time. That story pretty well covered that on the porcupine.